Hello and welcome to this week's Innovation Forum briefing. I'm Ian Welsh. The Innovation Forum team was in Amsterdam last week for the European leg of this year's Sustainable Apparel and Textiles Conference series. I was pleased to speak with some panellists and participants, including Decathlon Chief Sustainability Officer Anna Terrell. Her reflections are coming up very shortly. And to talk about the Scope 3 Innovation Forum coming up in June, also in Amsterdam, I caught up a few days ago with my colleague Natasha Bodnar to find out what to expect. First though, here's Anna Terrell. We've just been talking about circularity and supply chain. So Decathlon has ambition to be the most circular sports brand. Why is that?
Because it's fundamental to our long-term business success and the future, really. So our mission and ambition as a business is to move people through the wonders of sport and to democratize sport, if you like. When we look at the challenges that we face today as a manufacturer and a retailer, a lot of that touches on supply chain issues and also the changing expectations of our customers. And as a company with a net zero commitment and absolute emissions reduction targets, we know that we need to do business differently. And that's really where circular business models come in.
Circularity is something that we've been talking about for a number of years, but it still feels it's really early stage. So where's Decathlon on its circularity journey? I've said it.
It's an interesting one. So in some respects, we've been on this journey for years, decades. We've had workshops where we can repair products for more than 20 years. But then in other areas, in more sort of emerging circular business models, such as rental or subscription or second-hand, second life, as we would call it, it's newer. What's really interesting is that we've got a number of different levers that we're pulling, and we're exploring what works, where it works, how customers are responding to it. And we're seeing really fantastic growth in certain spaces, and in others, not so much. And that's kind of reflective, I guess, of the broader ecosystem we're operating in, and also the role that digital and tech plays to enable how we go to market with circularity.
So let's talk about these levers then. You mentioned them just now. Let's go through each of them in turn. So resale, where's that growing, and the other models?
So our key levers are around second life, which is secondhand resale, if you like. And we have a buyback program to facilitate that. That's quite popular. We also have an area around DIY and repair. I talked about our workshops, but we also want to make sure that we enable people to be able to repair at home. And then we also have second subscription and rental schemes, which prove particularly popular in certain types of sports. So for example, children's bikes. Children grow so quickly, you know, having a rental scheme that you can replace and exchange bikes for through that journey can be very cost effective. And I think this is a really critically important factor in the longevity of circular business models and how we scale them. It's also the economics of the model. And similarly, in ski or winter wear, you're only going to use it for so many times in a year. Maybe a subscription or a rental model can work better.
And do you have models where you could have a customer renting ski equipment off you in the winter and then renting a wetsuit off you in the summer, say?
Potentially, yes. I mean, really, at the moment, the world is our oyster, but I think where we still have some more work to do is the role that digital platforms can play in facilitating that. And really, I think one of our key learnings at the moment across all of our different circular business models, all of our different pilots and proof of concept POCs that we've got, is that digital is a critical enabler. And we see it already when we look at existing models out in the market. The C2C platforms, the customer-to-customer platforms, like Vinted, for example, which is incredibly popular, that is a technology-driven approach to being able to keep products in usage longer.
What's the role of brands then involved in these C2C platforms? I mean, it's Decathlon branded kit that's being sold by consumer to consumer. How does a brand get involved there?
That's one that we are actively exploring right now. We have an investment arm as part of Decathlon where we're able to invest in startups or go into joint ventures that are looking at either kind of technological innovation or new solutions or platforms like C2C platforms. Now that's slightly different because that's kind of behind the scenes investment in a C2C platform. But the piece we still need to figure out is what is the role of a brand like Decathlon in facilitating that transaction or the information exchange? What's quite interesting with the existing C2C space is we can see a lot of our product, branded Decathlon product, is being traded between customers, but we don't have the ability to influence or control the information that's shared with that product. in terms of the quality of that product and its exchange, and really importantly, what happens when at some point someone maybe doesn't want it anymore and it needs to go back into the system because of various different factors. How do we get it back as well? Still lots to explore in that space. I don't have the answer yet.
Indeed. In the session just now in the conference, you talked about consumers and the power of consumers and how to unlock that. That's going to be the future for decathlon in this space, perhaps.
It's got to be. With the greatest will in the world, businesses that aren't able to unlock and better understand consumer behavior, change habits, and how the thinking around whether it's secondhand products or it's subscription models, how people are leaning into that space or not. If we don't understand and have that insight, then it's very difficult to apply and ensure that those business models are fit for purpose and fit for the future. It's a tricky space, though, for us as companies to play in. We're still trying to navigate that and figure out how we can do that best, but it's going to be really, really important in order to be able to create that end-to-end experience.
Yeah, and if you're having a circular economy, then consumers have to be part of that.
100%.
Anna Terrell, thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
Innovation Forum is back in Amsterdam for this year's Scope 3 conference on 12th and 13th of June. To hear about how it's coming together, I caught up with conference director Natasha Bodnar. Why don't we talk about a couple of the sessions in the event that you're particularly excited about? Give us a session that you're looking forward to.
One of the sessions is actually on the first day. It will be looking at map, measure, manage. So how we set baselines, measure performance, and maintain accountability, which obviously in this space, I think is very important. Focus around target setting and moving beyond this is obviously on how to measure performance in a viable way, a way that delivers with good data without imposing too high of a cost, and looking at the importance of traceability in this as well. So how to demonstrate all of this data clearly, what tools and technology we can help in this space. It should be a very interesting session to start the day.
So who have we got joining in that session?
So far, I already got a good panel lined up. We've got the head of sustainability from Signify joining, as well as the global business operations and supply chain climate director at Unilever.
What are they going to bring to the conversation, do you think?
What is also a very good thing about this event in general is the fact that it's such a cross-the-board, different industries involved. I think just having the different supply chain perspectives from a company the size of Unilever and how they're setting baselines and measuring performance is obviously a huge, huge thing to undergo. And with Signify as well, they've got lots of experience in this space and really looking forward to their tools and technology that they've been using in setting their baselines.
Okay, any other sessions that jump out?
Yeah, I don't think we can really talk about Scope 3 without speaking about procurement. We've got quite a heavy focus on procurement, especially on the second day of the event. But one specific session I'm looking at is embedding sustainable procurement and what this means for driving down emissions. And we've got a great panel lined up on this as well. We've got the Director of Procurement and Sustainability at Evri, Pauline Potter, who'll be giving her insights, as well as the Group Head of Sustainable Procurement and Impact Valuation at Holisim, who are joining as well, and the climate advisor at Watershed sharing some valuable perspectives on how procurement leaders are driving emissions of reduction strategies within their supply chains.
That follows straight on, doesn't it, from a Q&A session with the chief procurement officer at Henkel.
Yeah, which I think Bertrand has been very involved in this space for a long time and is definitely a leader in sustainable procurement. So very much looking forward to that Q&A.
All right, some really interesting sessions then to start off second day of the event. How can everyone get involved, Natasha?
We do still have passes left. The event is taking place on the 12th and 13th of June, but we have our final discount deadline on May 3rd. So if you register on our website in advance of May 3rd, you will receive a €200 discount. So I'd recommend getting that in as a last chance discount.
And there are some sponsorship opportunities still available as well, aren't there?
We do have some sponsorship opportunities still available, and we also do have a couple of speaker spots still available as well. So do get in touch if you think that your company is suited to be joining the event. It'd be great to have a discussion.
Absolutely. Always looking for more interesting case studies and examples and insights. Natasha, look forward to the event. It'll come around very soon.
Thank you, Ian.
Full details on the upcoming Innovation Forum conferences and webinars are on our website, including how to join us in Amsterdam in June. But that's it for now. We'll be back on Thursday with this week's podcast. However, for now, I've been Ian Welsh, and goodbye.